the Joint Ways and Means Committee. And on our agenda today is a work session on 5051 Community College budget, and then a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 466A relating to the Columbia Gorge Community College District. And I want to reverse the order a little bit and open the public hearing on 466A because there's some effect on that on our 5051. And so, see, Senator Farioli isn't here yet. Representative Patty Smith here. Oh, yes, Patty, welcome.
Here.
Yes, would you... Oh, no, that's okay.
That's okay, we won't wait.
Yeah,
for
right.
Senator, huh?
You are as important as any senator. How's that?
Thank you. Very good to hear. For the record, I'm State Representative Patty Smith, District 56. I'm here to testify on behalf of Senate Bill 466. Senator Farioli and I brought this bill because we need this enabling legislation and funding for the annexation process of Columbia Gorge Community College and to access Hood River County. So I have lots of letters of support from the city of Hood River, and what they want to do is put this on their ballot, and they need the legislation
put it
in order to go ahead with it. So it's important that we get that through. And Dr. Bill Bell is here from the president of the college, and I'm sure he can go into great detail on it for you. But I'm here just to ask for your support.
Right. Any questions for Representative Schrader?
Just, what's the local contribution going to be towards this? Patty, do you know, Representative Smith?
You know, could I ask Dr. Bell to come up and maybe he could help us with this?
That'd be fine, yes.
Would that work?
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome to the community.
Thank you very much. Bill Bell, President of Columbia Gorge Community College. The present tax rate of Columbia Gorge Community College is 27.03 cents per thousand. So this proposal would be to extend that tax into the part of Hood River that would be part of the new college district. Cascade Locks currently is in Mount Hood Community College District and also in Mount Hood, or in Hood River County. So they would not be part of the annexation effort. They would stay with Mount Hood Community College.
Okay, further, anything else you want to tell us about the, yes, tell us about the proposal and what it does, what it changes.
Well, Columbia Gorge Community College has had a long-term relationship with Hood River County, and we've delivered limited services through the contracted out-of-district arrangement that exists in the Oregon statutes. And Hood River County is the largest area in the state of Oregon now that's not in a largest population in the state of Oregon that's not in a community college district. And there's been a citizens committee formed in Hood River to look at the needs of community college services, and they advanced this legislation and need and support this legislation, and had planned on having an election to elect or to cause this annexation to take place in May, and decided because this legislation that enables them to have credibility with their taxpayers about what's going to happen and under what conditions it might happen and what the tax impact might be on the citizens, they wanted this legislation to be passed before they initiated a campaign to have a local election. So the election was changed from May to November in hopes that the legislature would be adjourned by then and that the bill would be passed, and they could go out and share that legislation with the citizens so that the people in Hood River County would be informed and knowledgeable. There's all a broad base of support from the city to the port, the county, and a campaign is planned to be mounted and go for a November election.
Any questions? Or, yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At the risk of sounding naive or not educated here, Section 3 appropriates general fund money, and there is a blank there. Is there a number to be put in there?
LFO, Steve, can you answer that?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members. LFO would recommend, would receive information from the department on the cost to Columbia Gorge of establishing or extending their services in Hood River County. And we agree with the department that the figure appropriate cost for that would be $942,000.
Okay, Representative Schrader.
Is that to be repaid then, or is this...
No, it is not. This is funding to support the community college's enrollments during the second year of this biennium, and an estimated 300 enrollments in Hood River, as well as certain startup costs and costs for the election. This is what is in the past, this is what the legislature has funded when a community college district annexed additional territory.
Yep. Senator Trill.
Mr. Chair, I didn't see this $1 million, almost $1 million, any place in on anybody's list. And so I'm just wondering, where does the $1 million come from?
Right. Senator Trill, that's one of the things we'll be considering when we look at the budget. You know, there's $45 million in the governor's budget and the co-chair's exit budget for community college, but that was for enrollment and growth. And so it could be taken from that, and we'll hear from the association.
Well, this college is going to get some of that money. Can it just use the money it's going to get to do this? It's going to get...
Could you answer that, Doctor? If we put the full $45 million into the 17 community college districts for growth and enrollment, what would you get from that?
The college board met last night, and we talked about this, and we are committed to the $45 million goal for enrollment growth, and the money that we're talking about here, approximately $1 million, would be the $46 million that might go to community college or some amount, but it would be above the $45 million. We're committed to the enrollment growth.
So, you didn't answer my question. How much will you get of the $45 million?
We'd get about $400,000.
$400,000. That could be used for the same purposes of asking for the $945,000?
No. Without the $1 million above the $45 million, I think what we would support would be, if we get the $1 million above the $45 million, we'll take it. We'll be happy, and the citizens of Hood River will start receiving services. Compromise might be that we have enabling legislation to take place that would allow the election to take place in Hood River in November, and then we would come back to the emergency board and ask for funding to operate services within Hood River County.
I think we need to consider that seriously because, as you said, Senator Trill, and I didn't see it in anybody's budget, so it would be an additional $1 million of general funds, and that would be very difficult at this time. So can we, we're just going to be in a public hearing on 5051, but can we work that bill to accommodate you, what you just said, about holding the election with some sort of legislation having been passed that they can go to the emergency board?
I think that would work. We're committed to the $45 million going for enrollment growth.
Okay.
We'd like enabling legislation to allow us to move forward with the annexation, and we'll seek funding through the emergency board at a later time.
Senator Trill, follow up?
I think we could do it that way. If we're not going to encumber the $45 million and that's going to be distributed among the community colleges, it would mean then if they did have the election, came to the emergency board, they would ask for emergency funds. Mm-hmm. And whether or not that the co-chairs are comfortable with that or not, I don't know. But that's what would happen.
Yes. Right. Other questions or comments?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Without the additional funding, the annexation would not take place.
Understand. And you also understand, in order to have funds available, if you go to the e-board, we have to appropriate those
yes.
funds specifically to the e-board. Yes, Representative Schrader.
Well, I guess the question is, why couldn't the annexation, or why couldn't the election go forward, and then it would only occur, obviously, if the next legislature perhaps appropriated the $1 million as part of the ongoing growth model for the community college system.
That could happen.
Any other questions? Not. Thank you very much. Is there Senator Farioli isn't here yet. Representative Smith, is there anyone else that's been working on this bill?
No, not that
like
I'm aware of. I just wanted to say there's a real need out in the gorge in District 56. I don't know if you're aware of, but in Hood River County, Hannah Lumber's closed, and we need facilities for retraining. We also are the home of the Oregon Veterans Home and the Dalles, trying to get the nurses training there to be able to go full capacity. So it's the need is there. It's very specific, and anything you can do would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. We are in public hearing on this, and we don't have a sign-up list, but I think it'd be appropriate for Andrea or someone from your association to come testify if you'd like. We're not okay, don't need to. Is there anyone else that feels compelled to testify in the public hearing on this bill? If not, we'll close a public hearing on the bill and open the public hearing and work session on House Bill 5051. And Steve, this is a work session. We can call anyone up that we need to, but give us LFO's recommendation, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I've distributed to each of you a packet of materials in a paperclip that has a blue sheet on top, and I would like to go through that blue sheet just to explain what the subcommittee is being asked to do today. You're being asked to consider make final recommendation on the community college budget for the 2013 biennium. What this memo indicates is just to remind you of the actions that you've taken so far on this budget, because there's been considerable time since you last considered it. You held a work session on this budget, which was then, by the way, held in Senate Bill 5506. That the co-chairs have asked that you use House Bill 5051 as the vehicle instead of that Senate bill, solely for the reason that to equalize the workload of the two houses at this point in the session. Most of the bills that have not been passed are still Senate bills, so this will help even that workload out. But in any event, you held that work session on March 8th, and you made a number of decisions at that time, and I've just summarized those in those three bullets at the top. You approved technical adjustments and reductions that were required under the co-chair's budget directions. You approved the program cutbacks contained in the governor's recommended budget, and we'll be talking about those, and identified preferred add-backs. You were asked to approve them at that time, and you did. However, you identified certain add-backs that you wished to have funded if additional funds became available. The record will show that the subcommittee identified student-based funding, which is the term that is often called, being used, the term enrollment growth is being used to mean the same thing, the student growth funding as its priority add-back if there were up to $45 million in additional funds available, and restoration of the governor's program cuts if more than $45 million were to be available. I'm mentioning this to you for information purposes only. The subcommittee now is not bound by that earlier decision.
Is not bound?
Finally, you deferred consideration of a package that was in the governor's recommended budget for $45 million to finance student-based funding or enrollment growth. That is to say, to finance additional funding that would be distributed to colleges through the Community College Support Fund for their general purpose budgets. At this point in time, this is the situation that the subcommittee is asked to consider. There are additional funds now that you are not allowed to consider on March 8th. The co-chair's budget does include an additional $45 million of general fund above what you had approved on March 8th. But to clarify, this is the same amount that was in the governor's recommended budget for student-based funding. And basically, dollars that you have today are the same as the level in the governor's recommended budget, except for those technical adjustments that you made on March 8th, you know, the standard cuts you made and that sort of thing. What the subcommittee has been asked to do today is to decide how best to utilize the additional $45 million available for this agency under the co-chair's budget. And there are three alternative uses to decide among. One is the funding of the enrollment package, the student-based funding package. The second is whether to restore any of the governor's program cuts that you previously approved as requested when you heard the bill earlier. And the third is whether to provide funding for the expansion of the community, Columbia Gorge Community College District under SB 466. I put the sheet together before realizing that the committee was going to defer action on, was going to not do that. So, apparently the decision now is between those top two bullets. If you turn this page over, the blue page over, look on the back.
Excuse me, Steve.
Oh, sure.
You know, those three options you gave us, the third bullet, why, you know, we have the opportunity to appropriate to the e-board that amount of money.
That is correct. That is what Senate Bill 466 does.
Right.
So but you still have that on your right. agenda today, and you could go back into that bill if you wanted to do that.
Okay.
On page two, or on the back of the sheet, LFO is suggesting the following work plan to help you to make your decisions. The first is to consider the request to fund the community Columbia Gorge Community College District annexation of Hood River County and SB 466. We estimate the fiscal impact of that to be $946,000 general fund. At the same time, we suggest you consider restorations to the cuts in the governor's recommended budget. The co-chairs have indicated that no more than $6.4 million out of that total $45 million may be applied to restore these cuts. You are under no obligation to just restore any of these cuts. However, you may choose to use up to $6.4 million to restore the cuts in any manner, as you see in that box there. These are the six programs that were cut that we're referring to. There's a total of roughly $12.7 million in cuts, and up to $6.4 million can be used to restore any of these in any to any degree. You don't have to do all of them. You can do one of them. You can spread it out. It's up to you. The remaining funds that would then be left would be available for the student-based funding or enrollment growth package. What this the math turns out is that this would allow between $37.6 million to $45 million for this package. That's to say, if you decide not to put any funds in for Senate Bill 466 and you decide not to restore any of these cuts, then clearly there will be $46 million available for student-based funding. On the other hand, if you decide to fund Senate Bill 466 and you decide to use the full $6.4 million available to restore cuts, that would leave you with $37.6 million remaining for the enrollment growth package. And any number in between those two is also possible given the extent to which you choose to make decisions related to funding restorations. We then have two additional things we'd ask you to do after you make those decisions is to consider a set of proposed budget notes, which are also available in your packet, and we can look at those at the time that you want to consider certain additional funding adjustments that LFO is recommending. These are of a technical nature, but we do recommend that you consider them before your final action, which would be to report the bill back to the full Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you, Steve. Members, I have in my hand here from the Oregon Community College Association signatures of the presidents, and we don't have copies for them because I just now got it, but let me read to you what they say. Dear Chair Hartung and members of the committee, we, the undersigned presidents of Oregon's Community College, are writing to inform you that all 17 community colleges in Oregon support the $45 million enrollment growth package proposed in HB 5051. We understand that there are other funding proposals that would divert part of the $45 million for items such as regional partnerships, community college skill centers, Oregon Advanced Technology Center, Sabin Center, and Hood River annexation. We do not support using the enrollment growth money for these programs or any other programs. Our legislators asked us to speak with one voice to declare our priorities for the Oregon community colleges. It is our opinion that enrollment growth funding should be the first priority given the limited resources available in this budget climate. We hope we can count on your support of this package and that you will oppose using the $45 million for anything beyond enrollment growth. Is there discussion on that, letter? Comments?
He's ready there, sir.
Okay, so, Steve, let us proceed on our work plan here. And as you just heard, I think the consensus is, maybe I better ask, is the consensus of the committee, the majority of the committee, we put the $45 million into the enrollment growth? Okay.
Senator Hartung?
Yes.
I believe that we made that commitment early in session, and we also made that commitment when we left last session. Those of us who were here, and I believe we should keep the commitment that we made to the community colleges.
I agree, because the $45 million is just part of what they really felt they needed. I think it was 78 or something, and I feel the same way.
Senator, yes. Just an additional comment.
Yes, Representative Smith.
So as far as Senate Bill 466, the $942 million they're seeking would be
942,000. It may be as easily reached as the thousands. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. In this budgetary climate, I'm not sure it makes a difference. Anyway, thank you for that. That would be outside, and also the $6.4 million restoration package would be from other sources beyond the $45 million, and I do support that. I think we owe it to our community colleges to disperse the monies how they see fit. And thank you very much.
Yes, Senator Cho.
I just think that though we are making a choice, and I mm-hmm. agree with the choice we're making, but it does mean then that there will not be money for doing those other things.
Realistically, I think you are correct.
And Senator,
yes, Representative.
That is not to say that the other items are not worthy.
No.
We do believe that all of them deserve our support. But I also know that we've made a commitment, and that the community colleges are unified in their desire, and I think we should abide and go forward with the recommendation of the 45 amendment.
So, Steve, we are in work session. What kind of a motion do we need? I see you're not going to recommend, LFO's not recommending.
We have no recommendation on Senate Bill 466.
Oh, that's right.
We could move his first option, which is student-based funding enrollment growth at $45 million. Mr. Chair, I move that.
Yes, Senator Cho moves one of our first options, and that is to utilize the full $45 million in the student-based funding enrollment growth. Is there any discussion? Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just ask Steve, were there certain additional funding adjustments recommended by LFO that you wanted to share with us?
Yes, and I would be happy to do that.
Can you do it after the vote?
After we have the vote on this, please. Further discussion on the motion? Everyone? Yes, Representative.
Just a quick comment, sir, but I think this is a very important motion for several reasons. One, it does keep faith with the community colleges, and I also appreciate the faith they've kept in staying together on this, and I have a couple of projects aren't going to get funded this biennium as a result of this, and I think we are all probably in that boat, and I think it shows, hopefully, that this legislature is exercising some responsibility, and likewise, so is our partners out there, and I really appreciate that, and I look forward to that same sort of partnership in the other budgets that were coming ahead of us, and you're setting a great standard to which I hope many other agencies are willing to adhere to, and wish you all the best.
Right, I'd like to add to that. I mean, this is really great to have all 17 of the colleges agreeing on budgets. I tell you, it's been very frustrating. I've been chairman of the Senate Education Committee the last three sessions, and to try to deal with half a dozen different opinions from the 17 community colleges is very frustrating. But this is great. Is there further discussion on the motion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing no objection, so ordered. We have committed the $45 million to the student-based funding, the enrollment growth. And let's see, regarding that,
too, you're there.
Thank you.
I usually clear the hall if there's any, if there's any booing or shouting or clapping, but this is okay. And let's see, what else do we need to do then?
Mr. Chair, I would ask the subcommittee to consider some budget notes that various members have requested. In this packet of materials that was part of the blue sheet on top, about halfway through, you'll find a one-page sheet that says Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development proposed budget notes. And there are five budget notes that are on that sheet. Has everyone found it?
Okay. Is that my blue? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Have these been worked out so that the community colleges know what these things say? All of them? I mean, is this a surprise? I know it's the first time I think I've seen the budget notes. Anybody
yes,
else
it's for me too, Senator.
It is for me also.
The other folks out here seen them?
I've seen them.
You've seen
them? I saw them yesterday.
Let's work these, and we don't necessarily have to adopt them if the committee does not choose to do that. But, yeah, Steve, proceed.
The first of these is actually a budget note that you previously approved, which I don't believe you need to take action on again unless you want to reverse your earlier decision. But I listed it here just for so you would have a complete list of all budget notes that are being considered. That was a budget note that the department would work with the Employment Department and with the workforce-related programs of the Department of Human Services to coordinate and prioritize workforce-related services with particular attention to placement, training, and job retention services.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Trill.
Isn't it possible to bring community college key players who are involved with these to the table so that we can ask?
Yes, I'd like to do that. So, Cam or whoever else, and as we come to these budget notes, if you could, whoever's responsible in that area, come to testify, I'd appreciate it. So, Cam, would you like to comment on the first, number one? I see we've already approved that.
Yeah, we've approved it.
Okay.
Is it workable, Cam, and you are comfortable with it?
For the record, Cam Preuss, probably Commissioner of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. Mr. Chair, Senator Trove, yes, it is workable. It's already been approved. We're already making a plan.
Okay. That's the only one of these budget notes that we have approved, I believe. So thank you very much. Any other questions for Cam about this? Okay, let's go to number two, performance measures.
This is a budget note that would indicate performance measures that are expected for community colleges. If I may just read it, would you like me to read it?
Please, please do.
Community colleges are expected to serve 189,190 full-time equivalent students in 2001-03 biennium, approximately 10,500 more than in 1999-01. Distance education programs are projected to serve 100,000 students. That's not an FTE basis, it's just a headcount, but 100,000 students, a 33% increase over the prior biennium. The ethnic distribution of community college students will reflect the ethnic distribution of the population of the state as a whole. Community college transfer students in the state's public university system will, on average, continue to perform as well in terms of grade point average as other university students in that system, specifically the ones who, you know, didn't come through the community college system to get there. The percentage of students who pass professional licensure and certification exams after attending a community college will improve, and the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development shall prepare a report on these performance measures in its budget presentation to the 72nd Legislative Assembly. This particular budget note, which was requested by, I believe, Representative Schrader, asked me to work with the community colleges to come up with a budget note that would reflect their performance measures. And this language is primarily what they had proposed with some changes, small changes, I would Inc., and they have looked at this, so I'm sure they'd be able to comment as to whether or not this would be, they would approve this budget note or...
Mr. Chair, Senator Tro. Some of this, I think, is fine and probably they've approved it. Some of it may be subject simply to chance, like the ethnic distribution will reflect the ethnic distribution of the population state as a whole. Suppose you do better than the population as a whole. You have a lot more. That's great, I presume, but you don't say that the goal is to have a lot more than the population of the state. I suppose you have less. What does that mean? If you made a real effort and you still got less, it's nice to have a goal, I guess, but it seems to me like that's a kind of chancy one, and I don't think you have much direct control over it, so should you be held accountable for it? That's the problem with that one, and maybe for some of the others as well. If we understand these things, our aspirations, and we really are trying to handle some problems by listing these things, and not that they're kind of ironclad, if you don't do this. For instance, the 33% that are supposed to be in distance education, if you make every effort and you come up with 25% rather than 33%, we're not going to say, you know, you failed. I just hope you make a better effort and so forth. And then the question is distance education better than on-the-spot education for some things? It's probably not for some things, and it's probably just as good for other things. So I guess we just have to be careful about how we use these things. That's what I think.
Yes, thank you, Senator. Representative Schrader?
Just comment. I didn't pick or choose these myself. I had an opportunity to look at them last night, and they look fine to me. And I agree with Senator Tro's interpretation that these are the beginning of performance, you know, outcomes, and a chance to see if this stacks up. And doesn't stack up, no harm, no foul. We get to reevaluate. But at least it starts to go down the track where the community colleges get to review what's going on. If I may also, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
I had asked the community colleges, where would you spend the $45 million? How would you spend it? And they were very, very nice. Every college contributed to a small report that I'd like to have part of, you know, the record. So the next legislature and the next group of community college presidents, because there are many, unfortunately, that are retiring, but many good ones, I'm sure, coming on board, and kind of track along with where the money went and how things went. And they could report to us that, well, you know, we needed more in certain other areas, and I'm fine with that. So I really appreciate this agency coming forward. So my rural roots here.
You just got back shoeing horses. In that
I don't mind being an elder.
The agency's done a very fine job, and I appreciate that, and again, hope it works out.
Sure.
Yeah, I would react this way to that and say that I think it's good to think about how you're going to use the money, so I think it's good that they've done it. I think also, though, it's very important for us to realize that they may not be able to use it exactly that way because they are going to have to adjust to circumstances, and circumstances are never terribly predictable. But so I don't think we should expect when they come back that they've spent every penny exactly that way, because they need some flexibility.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
And I might add to what Senator Scholl has said, I think we have provided the flexibility. I mean, $45 million in basically a lump sum with no criteria. I think that's very suitable. And as Representative Schrader said, you know, these days, accountability is the buzzword, and so I think that provides that. Any other comments from members?
I just have a brief comment, because I think we are providing the flexibility, and you know, hopefully that the federal government gets the same message that we want some flexibility with the funds that they send to us. But at the same time, I think we recognize that even with flexibility, there still has to be accountability, and you know, recognizing that you know, nothing is in concrete, and there are some shifts that go on in the interim, that the accountability is a part of that. And I'm pleased with what they have presented to us.
I don't think I've seen that. Has that been distributed?
Just was just now.
Oh, there it is, yeah. Right there. Right now. We haven't seen it before.
No.
Okay. Well, you can hardly expect it.
In practice,
reviewed it then.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get some of these things in advance.
No kidding.
Well, as you know, Senator, things move awfully quickly. We've had time to do other things, and while we're talking about that, we will meet Friday at 1:30 and Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Saturday at 1?
Saturday at 1, right. This is at the request of co-chairs, and I agree with them. We've got two more important education budgets ahead of us. And Representative Schrader says, and Cam, is it correct that this material we have represents each one of the 17 community colleges, their forecast, their projection? Yeah. And if you've looked at this and comfortable with it, or have you?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, we prepared it at the request of Representative Schrader to try to give a snapshot of how much resource from the $45 million each college would receive and how they might spend it. And I do appreciate the conversation this morning about ensuring that there is flexibility, since the economy has changed even since we put this together, but certainly since we started this dialogue in January.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we get you on the record that you are familiar with these. I see you have a caveat on each one of them that gives you lots of flexibility. This is our best estimate of how... So we're not going to be able to nail you on anything as far as... And that's fine.
Mr. Chair, we do have now seven new presidents coming in, and we felt it would be difficult to hold them accountable for our planning today.
And so, we members, if you would, you know, scrutinize this, and if you have any big problems with it, well, get right back to me, and we can schedule that for Friday, Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday, if there's any problems. I've just glanced at it, and it looks to me like it's fine, and thank you again for being able to bring...
Mr. Chair, as somebody who will be leaving this process, as a number of us will be leaving the process after this session, something I've learned over time is that it's very difficult for the legislature to micromanage, and we ought not to try ever try.
Right. Any other comments about the impact of state funding on community college performance targets, summary of all colleges, and then a breakdown on each college? Any questions about that? If not, we will enter that into the record. And so, let's see, Representative Schrader, do you have anything else to say about this? Okay. Steve, rapid training for healthcare professionals.
Sir, may I ask for a clarification? Has the subcommittee taken a decision on the performance measure budget?
Representative Schrader moves that this committee approve the performance measure presentation on proposed budget notes. Is that what you need? Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. Rapid training for healthcare professionals.
Mr. Chair and members, the next budget note was requested. It was Representative Patridge requested that the subcommittee consider this budget note, which states that the subcommittee is concerned about the impact that the shortage of qualified health professionals has on the state, and strongly encourages the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development to promote, with funds from Title I-B of the Federal Workforce Investment Act, programs that train healthcare professionals, and especially programs designed to expedite training and to accommodate student work schedules.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Trump.
I sort of understood from what I heard that he's sort of backed away from wanting this one. Is that the case or not?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Smith.
I do not believe he has backed away from wanting this, however.
Excuse me, Shirley, can you... find Representative Patridge and ask him to come here, and let's skip over to number four then, if that's okay. But continue your remarks, Representative Smith.
And what is the funding, the amount of funding for this? Is there a amount of funding? I thought it was
about
$1 million.
Dollars,
how much?
About $1 million, I understand.
I understood it to be $1 million too, also.
He had originally, he has changed the language that he's requesting the subcommittee to consider. Originally that was correct, but this does not identify any dollar amount and does not direct the department to do this. It just encourages the department to do that.
Okay. Okay, let's move to number four, assist the student aid report.
This was a budget note requested by Representative Schrader, and which states that the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development shall provide support and financial assistance to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission in preparing a report on the impact of student financial aid on student attendance and persistence, working toward establishing guidelines toward maximizing the impact of the state's and system's financial aid programs on student attendance and persistence.
Representative Schrader.
This is just, I think as you recall from the Student Assistance Commission budget, just being consistent in each of the budgets, that's all.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other discussion? Senator Trump.
Do we have any estimate of what this is going to cost? And well, can it be handled in the overall department's budget without any problems?
If I may, it wouldn't be just the community colleges. Oregon University System will also be participating in this.
Yeah.
I guess the question I'd ask of LFO is it important to reference the Oregon University System in this one, or do we just mention them in their own budget note?
I believe that it would be fine just to mention them in their own.
Okay. I think it would be nice to have some idea of what it's going to cost. Do we have any idea? Because clearly it says, shall provide support and financial assistance. So it's going to cost something.
Right. From the
Representative Schrader.
From the discussion we had in the Student Assistance Commission, I remember the cost is somewhere between $50,000 and $150,000.
From each segment?
Total.
Total.
Any other questions or comments?
Comment.
Yes, Representative Smith.
I particularly like this budget note. I think us as a legislative body has shown huge faith and support in allocating the dollars we have. I think our students need to be made aware in councils or when the checks are given to them, and just made aware that the state supports our community colleges are receiving, so in effect they can have reduced tuition costs and making their education affordable.
Good, thank you. Rob, Representative Patridge, could you come to the testifying stand? And we are considering proposed budget notes, and number three is rapid training for health care professionals. You have that in front of you there?
I do.
And have you read it?
I have.
And do you agree with that? Is that your proposal?
I agree with it.
You can go back and
thank you
again.
Goodbye.
For the record.
Do right. You want me to state real quick why?
Sure.
The budget note and the need?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for bringing me over from my e-government committee. I was getting a little heated in there. I'm State Representative Rob Patridge, House District 50 from Medford. I brought this rapid training for healthcare professionals budget note to the committee for the particular reason that I think we are in a stage in Oregon and nationally that we are having boomers retire. We know that one of the largest costs, since you are all on a budget committee and state in government, has been the rising cost of our ability to provide health insurance as well to our employees. 70% of healthcare costs are related to employment costs, the workforce that is out there, the people that are out there. Also, we've heard time and time again, as the good chair of the Human Services Subcommittee, as well as the good representative from Canby know, that there is a substantial shortage in healthcare professionals, and there is a substantial need for healthcare professionals. And that need is only going to become more acute as our population continues to age, and especially in the fact that Oregon is aging quicker than other parts of the country, as we are having a lot of people move in. So consequently, we don't have a state policy necessarily, I believe, on healthcare, and trying to comprehensively look at where we are expending state dollars to train the healthcare professionals we need. I have a task force bill which we passed out of the House, which is in the Senate currently, which I hope will address some of those issues in a comprehensive way. But still, right now, we know we have an acute problem and need for healthcare professionals and properly trained healthcare professionals. I think some emphasis needs to be put on those. The community colleges have been effective in their training programs. We do not want to take away from the increase in budget, whatever you happen to give them today. Probably, I don't know if you voted on those particular things today.
45 for enrollment growth.
Which I'm very happy to see. But by the same token, some of these workforce training dollars need to be allocated, and they need to look at rapid training programs. Currently, in community colleges, though I think that there has been some effort, I think there needs to be a focus and effort, and the reason I asked for this budget note, on programs that train these healthcare workers in an effective and rapid training method, especially for programs like LPNs, RNs, and CNAs. For example, a certified nurse's assistant, a CNA, we have substantial shortages.
I thought you were going to make this short.
Okay.
No, hey, a question.
We have a substantial shortage statewide, but instead of training them over the course of a semester when they're going to come out and just make minimum wage, it is much better for the worker and the individual, I believe, as well as our healthcare system and state policy, to train them in a cost-effective, rapid manner over an 8 to 12-week program.
Thank you, Senator Trove.
Yeah. Representative, I agree with everything you say. I do want to know, though, about one part of the budget note, and that's the part on about the middle of it, which says, with funds from Title I-B of the Federal Workforce Investment Act, and does that act allow this? Is it possible to do it under that act? Is there any suggestion from DAS or anybody else that's not possible to do? And why is it that they're not already doing it if it's possible?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, there was about $3 million, I believe, allocated for this particular Federal Workforce Investment Act that we received through the federal government, my understanding, and I cannot claim good knowledge of the particular act, but in consultation with your good LFO staff, as well as working with the Community Colleges Association, this money is appropriate to be used in this particular manner. I had initially asked that we carve a portion of that money out. The co-chairs disagreed with me, so consequently, the budget note got watered down to this particular piece. I would have liked to have seen $1 million set aside for these health care programs so we could actually have make some sort of state policy statement, and when we all go home, we could say we put $1 million towards training healthcare professionals in order to keep the cost of healthcare lower and provide for our seniors in our community. Unfortunately, the co-chairs disagreed with me and wouldn't sign that particular piece of budget note, but they did offer up that there should be an emphasis.
You didn't ask for general funds to do this?
I think I started out with general fund, then I talked to the community college about your $45 million. They didn't want to do that, and I wasn't willing to put that burden on them. Consequently, we wound up with these funds, and then we wound up with nothing but this budget note.
Did they say?
You don't kind of know how that works.
My guess is that they use these funds totally, completely, and so if they do what you want to do with some of the funds, they won't do something else.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there is no mandate that they have to do this. It's just that they consider, and the emphasis, there should be some emphasis placed upon this when receiving those funds, and they would do this in light in the absence of other items. But I think that if you look at the Employment Department's surveys on the needs statewide, I think you would be convinced that healthcare professional training statewide, county by county, is of substantial need, and at least in the top three in every county across the state.
I agree with that, and would be willing to spend general fund if we had more of it.
I'm hoping that Representative Schrader will come up with more general
fund. Yeah.
But not for training nurses.
I think there's a vet school or something that he's working on.
Rob, how does this fall in with the OHSU's training of nurses? I certainly agree we have a real shortage. So is there some way, there's some collaboration or partnering with the community colleges and OHSU with federal funds to do what you have just stated?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am substantially concerned with where we're at with nurse training statewide. I don't know if OHSU could even utilize any of these funds. And Mr. Bender could maybe answer that, but I think that it is probably more appropriate, and we can get more people into the workforce in a quicker manner by using our community college system. The RN training programs are two-year programs as opposed to, I think, the four-year programs that are available through Oregon Health Sciences University. I'm not going to debate the efficacy of which programs are more effective there, but I know they produce a lot of CNAs, LPNs, and other healthcare professionals, as well as RNs through the community colleges. But I am concerned that in this budget cycle, it doesn't appear that there is an emphasis on training healthcare professionals because of the money that was cut out of Oregon Health Sciences University base budget, as well as no emphasis particularly here. So I know the community colleges have heard my railing about this particular program, so. And I appreciate the budget note if this committee is inclined to adopt it.
And Steve, can you gather the information? You heard my question. What is, OHSU doing in terms of the shortage of qualified health care professionals? And do they use any Title I-B funds or have access to any of that?
I believe they're not precluded from using these funds, but I don't know if they are using. I don't believe they are using any now. And perhaps they're using a little bit, I see.
Okay. But can you get the definitive information on this? Senator Tro?
Yeah, Steve, is the community colleges not using all of their capacity now for these funds?
These funds are distributed for workforce-related programs, and the community colleges actually operate many of these programs that the funds are being used for.
Are there more funds available than they're using? That's what I'm asking.
I don't believe so.
No, I think I heard the representative say that these funds are being used for many things. He wants to see a greater emphasis on the shortage of qualified health care. Is that right?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions or comments from members? I'd like to have a motion that we approve the proposed budget note.
Before we do that, I'd like to hear from Cam.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you.
I'll go back and vote in the other committee.
Yeah, there you go.
See if it cools down.
Vote right and often. Yeah, Cam. You heard the conversation and the questions. Could you enlighten us about where these Title I-B funds have been used and what does it do? What does this budget note do, if anything, to those funds?
For the record, Cam Croy Sprawley. Mr. Chair and Senator Tro, we have been working with LFO staff on this budget note, and it had previously dedicated some money. What I can tell you is that we have, as Representative Patridge said, set aside some of the Title I workforce dollars to invest in training programs. Approximately 600,000 of that this year went to health care. And so it is an allowable use. One of the projects we are funding is at OHSU. I can't tell you exactly what allied health profession is in, but it is a partnership between OHSU, PCC, and a local workforce provider from the Portland metro area. So,
follow-up,
I think,
question.
Yes, Senator Tro, and then Representative Close.
Not you.
Why don't we let, I've been monopolizing, okay. Let her go ahead.
Well, it's probably the same question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cam, you say 600,000 was allocated to health care, but what is it, rapid training? Or is there such a thing out there?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, we are discovering, part of the reason for this funding is to discover new and better ways to deliver that training. This budget note says, look harder, look longer. and we certainly understand that that's what this is about.
Okay, thank you. I'm satisfied.
Okay.
Mine is, are you comfortable with this? Is this workable, this budget note? If you continue to do what you have been doing, are you satisfying the budget note, do you think?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tro, I believe so, yes.
Okay. Other questions or comments for Cam? No, thank you, Cam. And I would like a motion for this committee to approve the budget note, rapid training for healthcare professionals.
I so move.
Representative Winters has made that motion. Is there any objection? No. So ordered. Recognize Representative Hobson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly supported that budget note and the rest of them. I guess I do want to hope that the community college system realizes, as I know they do, that there are other areas that are in dire need. For instance, education. And I commend them because I know even looking at the last recommendation here in regard to the Spanish language piece for education, those two taken together are critical. And I know Chemeketa Community College, for one, has already addressed that. So I think going along with Senator Trump, making sure nothing gets left out as we do more and more things. But I encourage a continued emphasis on educational areas, too, with teacher aides and such.
Thank you. Other comments on that budget? No? If not, let's move to the number four, assist with student aid report. Have we had all the discussion we need on that? Yes, Representative
Mr. Chair, I think my comments fell on deaf ears as I was Representative Patridge came in.
Say it again.
Okay, thank you. regarding financial aid, student attendance, persistence, and performance, I think that's a very important area we should be emphasizing. The state legislature has, in good faith, given the community colleges what they asked for. In return, I think our students need to have a work ethic emphasized somehow in their studies. Performance on their part is also very important. They need to attend classes. They need to do the work. And I can remember when I was 18, went to Mount Hood Community College to the big town of Gresham from a small farm in Moala. Man, I fell right off the turnip truck. I received a scholarship at that point. And when I was given that scholarship, it was made known to me that, madam, you will be attending your classes. You will not skip your classes. And this is expected of you. And that was in 1975. Now, I don't know what's going on since then. I assume things have changed. I know our ethics have changed since then. And believe me, I attended my classes. And I think that is the utmost important. And I would like to see, if not, it's currently going on. I don't know. But when these checks are passed out to our students, especially the ones who are in greatest need that we hear so much about, I expect and, if not, demand from them performance on their part. This is not a free ride from government. And I would be very interested in a report back on that next biennium, of what our students are doing, what their grade point averages are, and I would even so far as to say how many classes they've attended. And I know that college professors don't take attendance anymore, so how are you going to give me that information? Correct?
Are you addressing the question?
Well, I think I'll address the question now. If college professors are no longer taking attendance in class, how do we know what their performance is going
to
be?
Come back to the table, please. Identify yourself, and you heard the representative's question.
For the record, Cam Preuss-Brawley. Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, I just attended the class at Chemeketa, and they took roll every time. I was not receiving financial aid, but but I paid my own money. I was coming to class.
And I think that they need to have some ownership in this, and I don't know what policies are being conducted at all 17 community colleges, but in order to study a performance goal, I would think you'd have to have some quantitative data, and that comes from attendance records.
Mr. Chair and Representative Smith, My aide here was whispering in my ear that with financial aid are two priorities. One is the ability to benefit, and two is academic progress, or the financial aid is rescinded. So I think that this student aid report should bring back to you the information that you seek, and I don't think it's appropriate that I speak off the cuff on my own experience, but I think your points are well made, and I think we'll prove them out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ken? If not, Representative Smith moves that item number four, assist with student aid report, that this committee accepts that budget note. Is there any objection? Any discussion? Seeing none, so ordered. Number five, Spanish language competent teachers.
Mr. Chair, this last budget note is requested by Representative Winters to deal with the shortage of teachers who are competent in Spanish. The subcommittee notes the shortage of Spanish language competent teachers in this state and requests the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development to work with the Department of Education to develop and support programs designed to prepare native Spanish language speakers for teaching careers in the state's public school system.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Cho.
I would like to see this amended slightly, because I like the idea, but it seems to me that the university system ought to be involved in this as well.
I would graciously accept. I was thinking that when we were talking that the university system should also be included, and I would accept your amendment.
Is there any objection to the including the OUS? Seeing none, so ordered. See, write that in. Okay. So, how's it read? What did you say?
I would add Oregon University System after Department of Education on the third line.
Okay.
That would direct the department to work with the Department of Education and the Oregon University.
That's satisfactory, everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Representative Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not opposed to this budget note, but I would, for the record, just like to make a couple of comments. I would hope that the intent of these teachers would be to assist the Spanish-speaking students to learn English, and that the intent would not be to teach the curriculum in two different languages. And this comes out of the debate in California over the bilingual education there, where members of the Hispanic community were saying, you know, for our children to go to law school, for our children to go to med school, they have to have a command of the English language, and we don't want them never learning a language well enough to be able to get the high-paying jobs and the high achievement. So I would hope that the intent here would be to assist those students to learn English. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other discussion?
Yes,
on,
yes. I just want to add one comment. We've heard testimony from the community colleges, particularly when we talked about the Workforce Investment Act, and we talked about the population who requires retraining and whatever. And if I recall the testimony, there was the large Hispanic group that would need job training. And it seems to me that we have a natural resource within our communities. And to encourage that natural resource that's there, when we're also talking about, if I recall, we've delayed some language issues in this building and Department of Ed because we don't have that resource base. So my intent was to put the two of them together where we do have a huge population of individuals that we should be encouraging them to go into the teaching field and get both the language as well as the individual. So that was my intent of bringing this forward and encouraging our systems to really do a little more due diligence in this particular area.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Trump.
I would like to comment just briefly about this. I think that this is good, and I think we want Spanish language competent teachers, and I would hope that they would teach both. They would teach both English and Spanish, because the kids that know Spanish want to know Spanish better, just as we teach English to our elementary kids all along. We ought to teach them also to the Spanish speaking kids English, but we also, if we can, help them improve their Spanish. We're really concentrating on getting our English-speaking kids to have a foreign language. Let's have these Spanish-speaking kids know their own language well, plus English. Know it well, too.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, yes.
And I concur with Senator Cho. One of the things I'm fond of saying is that we're one of the few industrialized nations that do not encourage our children to know more than one language. You can go to other countries and they're multilingual. And I say when I go to St. Martin's, they speak four languages and we're still debating the issue of one. So I concur that we should be able to do both.
Okay, Representative Winters moves that we accept the budget note, Spanish language competent teachers. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And members, please stick with me. I hope to pass this out. We have some other things to do for it. And Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That concludes the budget notes, but I have been asked by the co-chairs on their behalf to comment about an additional budget note that they had, that they were going to ask you to consider, which would have stated that community colleges shall fund their 2001-03 biennium enrollment with the funding provided in this and any other bills passed by the Legislative Assembly this session. It is expected that the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development will not seek additional funds from the Emergency Board during the legislative interim for enrollment-related costs. The co-chairs decided not to ask you to, you know, vote and to approve that language, but they did want to make it clear that they do see this as funding the enrollments that community colleges will have during this biennium, and that they would not be likely to entertain requests to the Emergency Board for additional enrollment growth funding.
Good. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, co-chairs. I know you're watching. And I also know that you know, co-chairs, that they will come to the E-Board regardless of that. Anything else?
I'm in trouble, sir.
I'm in trouble already.
Mr. Chair, yes. There are a few very quick items I would ask the subcommittee to consider prior to taking final action on this bill. In the packet of materials that you originally gotten, there is an item, a one-page memo to you. It's the second to the last thing in that pile, dated today's with today's date, which contains two additional recommendations. But before doing that, I would ask, for just so that there's no ambiguity, that the subcommittee essentially reapprove the decisions that you made on March 8th. The reason why I'm asking you to do that is because since that was a different bill that was being considered at the time, I think that to make it clear for the record that you are again adopting those decisions that you made.
Those are budget note decisions.
Those were actually the budget decisions. And I've attached the March 8th memo, which you approved earlier, if there are any questions about that. And there's no reason not to, nothing has changed that would change those recommendations.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt those recommendations.
Okay, Representative Schrader had already moved that. Thank you.
Oh, sure. You had? I'm sorry.
I mean, just now while you were talking. That's fine. And with the assurance, Steve, that there's nothing that we did on March 8th is in conflict with what we are doing today.
Okay. This is what you did today is simply extend the promise.
Okay. Is there any objection to taking LFO's recommendation on reconfirming our March 8th action? Seeing none, so ordered.
Then there remains two additional recommendations. We recommend that you take the following adjustment to the budget. Co-chairs have requested that funding for out-of-state travel be reduced by 1% in all agency budgets. This was not done earlier because this request came after you had your last meeting on March 8th. What this would equate to is a $146 general fund reduction, a $136 other funds reduction, and a $1,064 federal funds reduction. Yeah. LFO recommends approval of these reductions.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve LFO's recommendation on the program reductions related to out-state travel.
Right. Representative Winters moves that we approve LFO's recommendation. That would be number one on the program reductions relating to out-of-state travel. Is there any objection?
I'm not going to object, but I just want to know, does this come as a complete surprise, or do they know about it?
They know about it.
Okay. Without any objection, so ordered. Steve?
The final LFO recommendation is that you increase the federal funds limitation by $7,425,000 to allow the agency to spend money from two grants that they are applying for, which you approved letting them apply for. This limitation would be unscheduled pending award of the federal grant. So once the money comes in, ask for reschedule these.
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept LFO's recommendation on additional federal funds limitation for the grants that we discussed not too long ago. In fact, I believe that was filling the clown space and then another.
Okay, Representative Winters has moved LFO recommendation number 2 regarding additional federal fund limitations for grants. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection?
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Okay, Representative Schrader.
I'd like to move House Bill 5051 with the budget notes we've approved and the adjustments that, we've approved and the $45 million enrollment growth that we've approved through the Four Ways and Means Committee with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Schrader moves that we send House Bill 5051 with the due pass recommendation to the Full Ways and Means Committee with all of the adjustments that we have made to it. Is there any discussion? Any objection? If not, so ordered. Representative Schrader will take it to the full in the House, and I'll do the Senate.
Thank you.
Is there any other business? Come. Remember, tomorrow at 1:30 and Saturday at 1 o'clock, the subcommittee will meet. We are adjourned.
Friday at 1:30?
Friday at 1:30.
Don't we have session?
Yes, we're going to have to excuse from floor session. I mean,
Sam?
There.